Let's pray. Father, would you strengthen our faith and speak into our hearts this morning through your words in the power of the Spirit. Amen. In the events of this week, and after the on the evening of the atrocity that happened in Brussels, people were leaving messages, were writing things. One of the things that was written was this: darkness has cast its shadow, but the light still shines. Darkness has cast its shadow, but the light still shines. I don't know whether that was written by a Christian or not. Not necessarily. But those words, if you like, are at the heart of what we've been celebrating these past 3 days. And let's remind ourselves, what we've been celebrating was originally the Feast of Passover, which was a feast remembering freedom and deliverance. And the events of that first Good Friday and Easter Sunday celebrate a freedom and a deliverance. And through some of the songs we've already sung and will sing, actually these last 3 days are one event with two decisive actions. It is finished, Christ dies. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen. This is our hope. And we've heard the first account, one of the first accounts from the gospel writers, and all of the gospel stories have the event, but they acknowledge when that happened, there was wondering, there was doubt, there was unbelief, and there was belief. And our first reading that Sam brought to us was the declaration that was happening by Peter of those events as he declared the truth of Christ's death and resurrection. And that's why we're here this morning. Christ came to set us free. And from that reading in Acts, I just want to bring to us three freedoms. I don't know if you've ever seen The West Wing. I've seen part of it, haven't seen all of it. Apparently there's a chap called Leo who tells Josh a story that sounds like it's straight from the Bible, but it isn't. This guy's walking down the street when he falls in a hole. The walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, "Hey you, can you help me out?" The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down the hole and moves on. Then a priest comes along and the guy shouts up, "Father, I'm down in the hole, can you help me out?" The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hole and moves on. Then a friend walks by, "Hey Joe, it's me, can you help me out?" And the friend jumps in the hole. One guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." The friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before and I know the way out." Somebody commenting on that says this: "Imagine once again you've fallen in a pit." I know, you really must watch where you're going. Your friend stands at the top and declares, "I'm here to rescue you," and jumps in. This is wonderfully encouraging, except that the fall kills him instantly. Now you're doubly dismayed. You've lost your friend and you've lost your hope. This would be something like our own situation if Jesus remained in the tomb. And this would be something like the situation Mary and Peter and John and the first followers would have experienced. Oh, what a wonderful man. Oh, what a loving man. Oh, what a wise man. But now he's dead and gone and taken by death and punished on a cross and no more. But that is not the story, is it? And that is not the end. And that's why we rejoice
this morning, because one has come who's broken that power and sets us free. I won't bore you with the story that I did a few years ago, I'll spare my blushes and Graham's, as on one Christmas morning, we won't go into the details, we got locked in the vestry at 12 o'clock on Christmas morning, and trust me, we couldn't get out. There are bars on the window, the door is the wrong way round, we hadn't got the keys in there. I'm not going into details, but what happened is that there was somebody out in the graveyard tending a plot, and amazingly, we got their attention. Now, mobile phones don't work, whatever. And what had to happen? He had to come in with somebody else, and they had to kick the door down. And they kicked the door down. And the wardens had to repair it. But the point of that is that that's the message of the cross and the resurrection. And what Peter was declaring, the freedom that Christ brings, three simple things for you and me this morning. Freedom from past guilt. Forgiveness of sins. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's what Peter preached. Freedom from past guilt. The realized and vindicated work of the cross by the resurrection. So Paul would go on to say, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. And the person who wrote that was Saul, who became Paul, who had an encounter on the Damascus Road with the resurrected Jesus. However that took place, that's what happened. We know the twisted, sad people who exploded those bombs and died in the doing of it, did it partly because they thought that takes them to paradise. But it doesn't. The cross and the resurrection is all about what God does, not about what we do. And there is freedom from past guilt and forgiveness. As Peter is reinstated by Jesus post-resurrection, you and I, it's yours and mine because of cross and resurrection, one event, forgiveness of sins. Freedom from past guilt, freedom from the power of sin. Peter declared how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That was in Jesus' earthly ministry. But what is happening through the cross, the sinless one who takes our sins, and the resurrection, what he's doing is breaking the power of sin. Not that we will never do anything wrong again, but its power is broken in your life and mine. And this is the Christ life. Paul would say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We are, if we have simply put our trust in Christ through death and resurrection, we are in Christ. Somebody tries to describe it in this way, with the analogy of plane travel. If you want to get to Australia, then finding a flight to Sydney is a good idea. But it would be a strange traveller who goes to Heathrow, finds the relevant 747, and then sprints down the runway, hoping to follow after its general direction. Neither does the traveller watch the plane, awestruck from the lounge, and seek inspiration for their own powers of flight. No, if the traveller wants to get to Sydney, there's one relationship they must have to the plane. They need to be in it. If they are in the plane, then everything that happens to the plane will happen to the traveller. And in that sense, if that picture helps you, we are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And that's the power to love, and the power to live, and the power to forgive. And it is this gospel, and this life, and this love that will still change this nation and draw people into a relationship with the living God. The Crusades done in the name of Christ won't do it and didn't do it. And the bombings of ISIS won't do it either. But the life and the love of Christ in you and me will. And it is yours and mine because of that first Easter. And thirdly, and I'm hearing that the Pope yesterday and Justin Welby today is particularly talking about fear and not being people who live in fear. And the third freedom I want to bring is freedom from the fear of death. At the heart of what Peter was saying was this. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day. God raised him from the dead on the third day. And as a Christian and as a minister, that is what I live and die by. Christ was raised on the third day. The gospel doesn't say we won't die. Most of us, until Christ's return, will know an earthly death. But the resurrection hope can take away the fear of death. And of course, it does destroy the power of death. This is the bursting from the tomb, the victory over the grave. Again, as Paul would say, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently at the climax of the Jim Carrey film, The Mask, it's very similar to the climax of the third Batman movie as well. Great film. It appears that all will end in tragedy. The heroine has been tied up, a bomb is set to explode, and the hero is nowhere to be seen. Time is running out, and if the bomb goes off, everyone will surely be killed. But suddenly the hero reappears, transformed by the power of the mask, dashes to the rescue, and seconds before it is due to explode, calmly picks up the bomb, pops it in his mouth, and swallows it. The bomb explodes, causing no harm to Stanley, and everyone is saved. We know, yes, that when bombs go off in London or Brussels, people aren't saved. It's the reality of our world, and people are killed. But the heart of the resurrection is that Christ swallows up death and sin and hell and pain and transforms it. Some of it in this life and a lot of it in the life beyond. But this is what Christ has done. This is our freedom. This is our joy. This is our hope. I'm going to leave you with a few words from Justin Welby, which was at the end of his autobiography, and one further picture that I saw at the Holy Cross in Uckfield when it was the final service of John Hind, a former bishop here. It's quite a Catholic service. But within the going up and taking of communion, there was a lad there with learning difficulties, obviously. He may have been Down syndrome. I can't remember. What I do remember is as he took the bread and then the wine, he turned and did this. Yes! And he knew what Christ had done for him. He knew the freedom deep in his heart that would see him through this life and into the next. Justin Welby said these words: "It doesn't matter who you are, there's only one thing we ever do that lasts for eternity, and that's to lead someone to faith in Christ. When we do that, that's forever. Everything else dies. Make new disciples. Not because we're trying to notch up the numbers, but because we know that Jesus loves us so extraordinarily, so amazingly, that he died on the cross for us and was raised from the dead. And for other people to know, that will transform their lives and we will change the world. At the last judgment," he noted, "Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead. God isn't interested if I was Archbishop of Canterbury or Rector of Slapham. He couldn't care less. He's interested in whether I put my trust in Jesus Christ. May you put your trust in Jesus Christ. It is true. He is risen from the dead. Amen."